Hi, it's Dave. So tomorrow, Tesla is going to report their Q1 2020 earnings on Monday, April 26th. In my last video, I took 15 of the top Tesla shareholder questions that I think Elon Musk and Tesla management are going to answer. And that video was more of a qualitative analysis. In this video, I'm going to be looking at numbers and do more of a quantitative analysis on Tesla's earnings. I'm also going to, if you stay till the end, kind of share what I think is the key to analyzing Tesla's financials for the next 1 to 2 years. So let's dive into what I think is going to be the Q1 expectations. So my column that I'm expecting here is in the yellow. This is the Q1 2021 quarterly estimates. And these three columns on the left are the last three quarters. So what's most important is we need to figure out revenues. And of all the revenue figures, you have automotive revenue as by far the largest. So I'm estimating $9 billion in auto revenue. So how am I getting this figure? So last quarter, they delivered 180,000 vehicles and they had $9.3 billion in revenue. This quarter, they delivered 5,000 more vehicles, right? So 185,000, but it's lower. So why is it lower? So the first reason is Tesla delivered just a few thousand Model S's and Model X's. So I'm guessing, let's say hypothetically, about 15,000 Model S and X's less than they delivered the quarter before. And the average sales price is probably going to be about $40,000 less than the average sales price of, let's say, a Model Y or even Model 3. It could be even more than that. So let's just conservatively say $40,000. So what we have is we have a $600 million hit that Tesla is getting for not selling 15,000, right, Model S and Model X's. So if you go back here, you can take $600 million off of this $9.3 billion, but Tesla delivered 5,000 more vehicles. So let's calculate that out. 5,000 more vehicles at, let's say, an average sales price of $50,000, that equals $250 million. So you basically take the $600 million minus $250 million, you have a $350 million hit or so, right? So this is the revenue hit that Tesla's gonna get for not selling Model S and X's this quarter, but compensated by selling, let's say, 5,000 more cars. So you have basically a $9 billion revenue figure. Now this is plus or minus probably $100 million or so in my guess. I'm putting regulatory credits at $350 million. This is kind of hit or miss guess. You know, it could be 400 or so like last quarter, but you know, if you go back to Q1 of 2020, it was actually less than 350. So I'm kind of thinking maybe Q1 is seasonally kind of weak, and so we'll give it a slightly lower figure. However, again, this is like plus or minus $100 million or more. I'm pegging automotive gross profit at about $2.3 billion, and the total revenues, including Tesla solar energy services, etc., I'm pegging it at about $10.4 billion. Now, this is about $350 million less than Q4. I'm thinking Tesla Energy is about similar revenue and their services as well, but they're going to be minor things. This is all about, you know, about 10% of Tesla's revenue. So I'm not including it right now in this spreadsheet because in Tesla's shareholder letter, their first table that kind of gives us the first glimpse of how their business is doing. This is how Tesla's formatting. So I'm just kind of giving the Tesla cheat sheet for now. Now here's my first important range is the total revenues. I'm looking for Tesla to come in between $10 and $11 billion in revenue. If anything falls out of my range, I'm going to be kind of concerned, but I'm pretty confident. I'm over 90% confident that this is the right range. Gross profit, I'm pegging it at $2.2 billion. It's because services and Tesla, especially solar roof and all this stuff, is still negative business. And so we have total GAAP gross margin of about 21%. Now operating expenses, I'm thinking $1.3 billion. Now I have a range of $1.2 to $1.4 billion. So let me explain what's going on. With operating expenses, one of the largest expenses for Q4, do you see this big jump? It went from Q2 $940 million to $1.2 billion and then $1.5 billion. The biggest expense was stock-based compensation. Now, of that, Elon Musk's stock-based compensation plan was a heavy hit for Q3 and Q4. And what we know is actually in Q1 is going to be a lower hit. Let's take a look at this table here. This is from the accountant at Tesla Motors Club. And he shows kind of the 12 tranches that Elon Musk can be eligible for these stock compensation plans and which quarter they're expensed in. Now, these expenses usually go into the operating expenses, right, as an expense. So if you look at here, the stock compensation plan just for Elon Musk's CEO compensation plan was at $267 million in Q4. And we're expecting in Q1 of this quarter of 2021 for it to drop $150 million or so to $113. The rest of the stock compensation plan, you see it increased too. So it went from 180 to 206 to 366 in Q4. And we're expecting it to be around the same. So here's the thing. As the stock price goes up, employees are able to exercise their options. They get paid sometimes in stock, and therefore the cost of that to Tesla increases radically, especially if your stock does a 10x in a year or so, right? And I think actually the stock-based compensation plan or expenses for other employees will probably stay around the same amount, because if you look at Q4 numbers, it's similar kind of stock price as Q1. You know, stock compensation might be slightly lower, but I'm not expecting a ton. And that's why when you go back to the operating expenses, if you take out about $150 million for Elon Musk's kind of stock-based compensation plan, the lowered expense, and a slightly lower perhaps other expenses, then we're looking at a $1.3 billion operating expense. I'm looking for a range, though, about $1.2 to $1.4 billion. Now, income from operations or operating income, is basically you take this total gross profit of $2.2 billion. You just minus it by their operating expenses, and you'll get an income, operating income of $900 million. Again, plus or minus 100, so I'm guessing about 800 to a billion. And then for GAAP, what you do is you minus all of the various taxes and other expenses, and I'm guessing we're going to have about $650 million GAAP income. Again, this is a rough range, so about $500 to $800 million. And then for non-GAAP, you add back the stock-based compensation, a few other things, and you get $950 million. And again, my range is about $800 million to $1.1 billion. For EPS, I'm looking for a GAAP earnings per share as for 68 cents per share and a non-GAAP of 89 cents per share. So this stuff is quite interesting. And I want to go ahead and kind of look at this from different angles, because earnings is really, really hard to really nail. And one of the reasons is because there's all these one-time expenses quarter to quarter that kind of sway and really move the needle, especially when your earnings are, you know, aren't in the tens of billions of dollars, let's say. So let's go ahead and I want to take a look at on HyperChange, on Gally's channel. We had Meyer Thacker came on. Definitely a smart guy and a great contribution to the Tesla community. He kind of shared his angle where he thinks it's going to be a blowout quarter. And his thesis is that Tesla had a lot of one-time expenses in Q4 that aren't going to be realized in Q1 of this year. And so a couple of these one-time expenses are, you have $100 million interest charge on early retirement of debt. Then you have this $156 million step up in R&D, primarily as stock-based compensation related. So I explained that, and I agree with that. And then you have a $300 million plaid tooling, Model Y single piece casting, and new Model 3 heat pump, one-time expenses. And he's getting this based off of Zach Kirkhoen's comments in Q4 earnings call. I'm going to go into that. And then you have a solar roof ramp cost. So he thinks there's $950 million that could have been reported, right, in Q4 if there weren't these one-time expenses. Now, I went ahead and kind of looked into, you know, Q4 earnings here. And what we have is we've got this interesting kind of question that Zach was trying to explain. And he says here, he gives some light into some of these one-time expenses. So he says, we've been able to reduce our use of debt and various working capital lines, including settling $2 billion in convertible debt in Q4, which will continue into Q1. So from my reading, I think this $100 million interest charge on early retirement of debt, I think Tesla actually, it's possible that Tesla actually retires more debt, and there could be some additional one-time expenses. So I'm not sure if we can really realize, you know, that $100 million in full interest expense for Q1. All right, Zach Kirkhoen goes on and says, stock-based compensation increase, part of which is driven by the rise of stock price over the course of our 2020 employee performance grant process, and a portion of which is unique to Q4 only. The impact of stock-based increases is seen across both COGS as well as operating expenses. So this is kind of interesting, because he's saying is that there's, as the stock price has gone up, we've had stock-based compensation increase. Some of it is just for Q4, but some of it, it seems like it could be ongoing because the stock price is higher. But he's also saying it's not just operating expenses, it's cost of goods. And the way I take this is there's line workers, production line workers. Their salaries actually are put into the cost of sales or cost of goods. And it seems like those, there's been some, right, stock-based compensation increases for both, right? For those who are working not just in the production line, the cost of goods, but those whose salaries are put into operating expenses. So he's saying the automotive gross margin in Q4 was primarily impacted by two things. First, we invested in improving our products built in Fremont, including converting over to the new Model S and X, launching the single-piece Castian Model Y, and introducing heat pump on Model 3. Second, logistics and labor costs were impacted due to supply chain instability and pandemic inefficiencies. Now, I want to question this. So we have Mayer saying, hey, there's $300 million, he thinks, you know, that was attributed to this. Because, you know, Tesla is saying that, hey, if we didn't have these costs, then, hey, we saw an improvement in auto gross margin. So here's what he says. He says, adjusting for items such as these, as we do in our internal management views, we saw an improvement in auto gross margin. So it's like a few questions about this. It seems like he's talking about also the stock-based compensation a bit with the cost of goods, right? Anyways, then he's talking about, you know, this conversion over, right, the Model S and X, the single-piece casting. A lot of this stuff, some of it, I think, goes into CapEx. Actually, a lot of it should go into CapEx in terms of new tooling. I think what Zach is referring to is he's saying, hey, there's been some maybe labor costs and some other issues that go directly into cost of goods for Q4. And I don't know if it's really going to be completely exempted in Q1, meaning I think because we had a whole quarter of basically almost no Model S and X production, I think we're going to have actually some one-time expense hits. Like, think about it. You have Model S and X workers who, you know, aren't in on the line, and Tesla might have a hard time redirecting all of them to, you know, Model 3 and Model Y. Some of them are not going to be working probably. They're going to take a one-time hit expense. Plus, it's, you know, it's just delayed longer than expected. There's going to be expenses. So in my opinion, I think actually, even though there are less one-time expenses, or there's different one-time expenses for Q4, I think we're going to have some different kind of expenses in Q1 that are one-time, that are related to the delay of Model S and X. Then you have $62 million of solar roof ramp costs that Mayer's expecting. I'm thinking actually the solar roof ramp costs, you know, we could see some one-time expenses as well in Q1, because we know that Tesla increased the price of the solar roof. We know they're having problems, let's say, with efficiencies. So we, again, could see that one-time expense as well. So going back to Mayer's kind of conclusion here, he's thinking that if you take kind of all these one-time expenses out from Q4, and remove them, let's say, from a Q1, let's say, earnings, you can see basically a record earnings of $840 million GAAP and $1.3 billion of non-GAAP profit. In my opinion, you know, I think that's a great thing about earnings. I love it when people just share, you know, their thinking out loud, as I'm doing right now. It's because we can kind of examine it. And in my opinion, I think this is probably unlikely. I would love it for it to happen. It just seems like there's going to be some one-time Q1 expenses. Like, we might have some interest charge. We might have some, you know, Model S and X delay, and we might have some solar roof ramp costs. So yeah, we might not get as much, you know, incremental profit increase as maybe some people are hoping for. All right. So anyways, what I want to do here is I want to kind of just put Q1 earnings into a deeper perspective. And I think overall, it's extremely hard to, you know, nail a quarterly earnings to the T, because as last quarter we realized, there's all these one-time expenses we just don't know about. The other thing that was going to be interesting is Tesla has a $1.9 billion of deferred tax allowance, which means that they've had kind of losses for many quarters in past previous years. And that's accrued where they can take an allowance in one quarter. And this $1.9 billion can be added to GAAP profit for one quarter. It's a one-time kind of GAAP profit item, but it can only be used once, and it doesn't affect non-GAAP earnings. But it can help Tesla in some ways, because a lot of times people refer to a P/E ratio, right? Tesla has this crazy P/E ratio. But if you add $1.9 billion in Q1, Tesla's P/E ratio is going to be actually a lot better than it is up to this point. So it actually could help change kind of sentiment toward Tesla. I'm not sure exactly when Tesla is going to realize this, but you know, for each quarter that continues, I think the likelihood actually increases that Tesla will take this deferred tax allowance. All right, in my opinion, what I'm really looking for with Q1 is more like, what are the things that we can learn about in the quarterly results that help us to have an advantage 1 to 2 years out? Meaning, are there any kind of long-term advantages that we could have? And I want to point out kind of this main key feature that I think is probably the crux of Tesla's finances. So it's what I call operating leverage, or what the finance world is calling operating leverage. But when we apply it to Tesla, here's what it means. So you have total revenues here. So I'm pegging it at between $10 and $11 billion. Now this is just for one quarter. So you have a revenue run rate of $40 to $44 billion per year. Now, what you want to do is, the key figures is, you take the revenue minus, and you get a gross profit number. Right now we have $2.2 billion. You minus expenses and you get an operating income, right? So this is kind of like the key numbers here. But what happens if Tesla doubles their quarterly revenue, right? Because we know Tesla is ramping big with Austin and Shanghai and Berlin. So let's say, you know, in the next 1 to 2 years, Tesla, you know, let's say this number goes up to $20 billion or $30 billion. And let's say this gross profit number, let's say we keep the gross margins, it goes up to, let's say, $5 billion, just to call it, you know, even number. So at $5 billion of gross profit, and let's say operating expenses does not increase as fast as the gross profit number goes up. So gross profit number has, let's say, more than doubled, right? But let's say operating expenses just goes up to $2 billion. And I think that's reasonable, because if you look at the Model 3 ramp, Tesla's operating expenses really just stayed right where it was, because the operating expenses is not the production line workers. Operating expenses are these other workers, non-production line workers. So most of Berlin and most of Austin and most of Shanghai will be cost of goods expenses, meaning production line workers will go into that. It's already calculated in this gross profit figure. Right. So that's why Tesla has an advantage. Their operating expenses don't grow that fast. So let's say, conservatively, their operating expenses go up to $2 billion. If their gross profit goes up to $5 billion, then you've got an income of $3 billion of operating income, right? So what just happened? Your revenues went up, let's say, 2.5 times, but your operating income went up like 3 or 4 times. And this is like operating leverage, where as your revenue goes up, it doubles, your operating expenses don't double. Therefore, your income or your operating income will increase rather rapidly, more than double, more than the pace of the doubling of your revenue. And so this is the kind of the essence, what I think of Tesla's financials will be in the next coming years. And we're gonna see this revenue figure just increase rapidly with this gross profit figure. Their operating expenses are not gonna increase as fast, thus giving operating income that is growing faster than revenue. And this is going to surprise people. And this is why I think I've said it starting several years ago, Tesla is becoming a cash cow, right? As they increase their auto sales, they're increasing their gross profit, increasing their net profit. And it's going to surprise people, because the narrative to this point is, oh, Tesla doesn't make money. Oh, Tesla can only make money because they're selling regulatory credits, right? But they don't realize that Tesla has amazing operating leverage. And this is going to show every quarter, I think, from now for the next few years. And it's going to be fun to watch kind of the realization come from people of how kind of stellar, right, the business of Tesla is. Overall, besides the numbers, I'm looking for kind of clues on Tesla AI Day. Elon kind of share with us, you know, the long-term advantage of Tesla AI. I'm looking at the health of the business. Is Tesla laying the foundation for some long-term bets? I'm looking also, you know, we know there's a global chip shortage that's affecting a lot of automakers. Is that affecting Tesla at all this quarter or next quarter or this year, right? I want to know about that. Is Model S and X, is the update finally going to, you know, come out? Are they having problems? What are the problems, right? Full self-driving monthly subscription is supposed to come out soon. What is that going to look like? How much does it cost? I'm looking for an update on 4680 production cells, because that's going to impact Berlin and Austin. Also, when is Berlin and Austin? When are they going to start delivering cars? Semi, You know, when are semis going to hit the road to real customers? And Cybertruck, is it going to come out by the end of this year? And lastly, I'm looking to see if Elon will share if they're going to add Bitcoin mining to a solar panel plus Powerwall combo. And that will give an interesting revenue kind of option for both the customer and also for Tesla. All right, here's just a synopsis. All these things will change, especially as we hear the earnings tomorrow. And I'll go ahead and right after the shareholder letter is revealed, I'll go ahead and share my thoughts and kind of my expectations and see what we can learn from the actual earnings as it comes out. All right, hope this video has been helpful. We'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks.